RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
All right, this is RCR Thursday Morning Breakfast. So to the Gene Technology Bill, which is being drafted as I speak, and the urgent call from GE Free New Zealand to stop the Minister, Judith Collins, excluding key issues. Joining us, spokesperson from GE Free New Zealand, is John Carapiet. Morning, John. How are you?
Hello, Paul. Good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. I must point out right now that we reached out to Judith Collins. She declined an interview this week after we invited her to respond to some of the criticisms of the bill already aired on this program with Claire Bleakley and Jody Brunning. So she's not going to... Well, she fronted once. She's not fronting again.
Yeah, I heard that interview. It's a shame she doesn't turn up, actually, because, you know, obviously she's trying to do the best that she can, and she's got her own vision of what we need to do in New Zealand. And I know that both Chris Luxon and she are very keen that biotechnology is going to make us rich. But the issues that we've heard most recently from some people who went down to Wellington to talk to ministries really mean that I hope she does turn up soon, because I hope she listens to this conversation. I hope she changes trajectory from what delegation to Wellington a few weeks ago, and it was mainly organics and scientists, people going to talk to ministries there saying, what exactly are you planning? Is this the case? And they looked at the Ministry of Business and Economic Development's like list of things that were going to be in this new bill, which isn't out yet, and they were told a couple of things. One is it's going to impose costs on food producers, like organic producers. It's going to be the most... It seems to be like we're jumping from being told we've got a ban, which we haven't got a ban. We've got very strict regulations of GE.
Yeah, they keep on saying that, don't they, a ban, to make it sound like we're, you know, more fuddy-duddy than we actually are.
Yeah, so it is used. I mean, they have it both ways. We're using it. We've done trials. We haven't done trials. Look, it's about the future, and there's three things going on. There's the gene tech bill, which I'll talk about the exclusions that seem to be the plan, and why that's such a big problem for New Zealanders. And we're asking people, I mean, to be honest, I would have said right to Judith Collins, but she's not really wanting to change. And I think the only two people I believe who can influence her to pause the bill, to actually engage with the public, including farmers and exporters, who are saying, actually, this bill looks quite extreme. The only people who can do that, I think, are the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister, Winston Peters, because right. I think they've got... The gravitas and the power to just say, look, are we about to rush a bill into Parliament that once it goes through, of course, there's very little chance to change things in a select committee. They say it's out of scope. So let me just tell you what is out of scope at the moment.
Please do. Go.
So, and the minister said this, I think she actually said it on your show. She said, oh, we've been too cautious. You know, slowed us down. Now, again, there's lots of reports from scientists and others talking about what we've missed out on. And we don't seem to have missed out much in the past, except quite a few problems. So we are talking about what we might miss out in the future. But we've got to protect what we've got now, which is, I know, not a perfect clean environment, but we've got a lot of exporters, brand New Zealand exporting to the world as clean and safe, traceable food. So I'll just list what's not in the bill as we understand it. No precautionary principle. Now, the precautionary principle is very important globally with kind of global agreements to protect nature, because we've got really powerful technology. And if you don't take responsibility as well as the power that gene technology, synthetic biology, nanotechnology, they're all entering food, including nanotechnology particles. Unless you've got some kind of bottom line that says, look, we don't really know. No, the old doctors do no harm. If you really don't know what you're
doing. And informed consent. It all comes, those are all in the zone, right?
Absolutely. A different bill, but it's already underway. The food bill will take away any regulation of about 90% of the new gene edited products. Mm. So they won't be traced, they won't be labeled, and it will be left to the companies. And Professor Jack Heinemann's very good at explaining this. It will be left to the companies to say, oh, this GE product is what we say it is.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big problem, because the science so far says that sometimes when you do gene editing, other things change and it needs to be checked. And, of course, if you don't check it and you don't trace it through the food system, you can't give people a choice by labeling it, and farmers may not know what they're planting in the near future as gene editing that is not regulated, is not traced, is not tracked, starts happening in plants and animals.
Yeah.
There's no liability on the polluter pays basis. So at the moment, risks are being socialized. And I would argue that the precautionary principle was like the kind of counterbalance to, right, if things go wrong, the public end up paying. But that's why we've got to be precautious, because it's a socialized risk. Now, if you haven't got precautionary policies and you haven't got strict liability on users, the public are about to be lammed, and councils, and as it happened before, councils have had to clean up GE experiments and sites that have gone wrong because the company went bankrupt, sort of thing. So those costs are not being covered by the new bill. They're going to be left to the courts to sort out, and for people, farmers, to be suing each other, which is not good.
The other thing I just stop you there? We already have a stark example of that, and that is no liability for the pharma companies for their vaccine. Now,
good example.
You know, that's what could happen.
And there's a big risk appetite in the gene technology industry because they do see money in this. And you know, maybe they'll find some. And you know, there's, as I said, there's not a lot of successes that you can point to overseas to say we're missing out on this stuff. But if we are moving forward, and the government and Judith has been very clear, we are moving forward, what does that moving forward need to look like for New Zealand? And what the delegation in Wellington were told was that basically where we seem to be going with this bill that's about to come out is very much full-on deregulation, as they say, exempting gene editing products, most of them, from any regulation, leave it to the companies to look after. It's a different bill, but it's all related. So in the food bill, the food authorities are not going to trace and label gene-edited food, so there's no way that consumers will have a choice, and farmers won't know what they're planting. But worse than that, the RMA changes that are also going through will take away the power of councils and regions like Hawke's Bay and Northland, who really market themselves as non-GMO, GE-free zones.
Because they won't be able to say for sure, will they, ever?
Well, this is it. They will not have that power to add in those extra precautions like liability, like cleanup costs on the person doing a trial, like demanding that they restrict it so it doesn't spread. All of those things are the kind of regional controls that are in place now. And the government, and I think Judith said on your show, they want to consolidate it. They want to take away the confusing work for councils. Well, it ain't that confusing. They're exporting to the world, as I think you heard that report from NZEIR.
Yeah, and now we've covered that. Yeah,
on Monday. And the reason why that's so important is the government hasn't done that report. That was been an independently commissioned report. And all it says is there's something to see here. It doesn't actually give us a round, definitive figure. It just says we have a $1 billion asset in being able to export safe, traceable, non-GMO food like Fonterra do, like you know, most of our exporters actually do. And if we lose that asset, then we're really in trouble. So what we need to do is make sure we don't lose that asset. Mm. And the alarm bells rang when the delegation went to Wellington because, as I say, there's no protections planned for regional GE-free zones. There's not even precaution to justify lumbering the public with the socialized risk. So there needs to be liability regime, which is not there. And the other thing that Judith took away in this draft, as we understand it, is ethics, and arguing that ethical issues are covered in other parts of legislation. Now, let's be really clear. It was a long time ago, the Royal Commission, but out of that Royal Commission came something called the Bioethics Council, specifically because the issues, ethical issues, are complex. And the Bioethics Council was then abolished. So we have no Ethics Council to guide these very powerful technologies. And as I said, it's not just gene editing and genetic engineering. Nanotechnology and synthetic biology are opening up a cornucopia of both opportunities for industry, but also risks to nature and the public interest. So when the delegation was told, your industry is about to be hit by costs, if you don't speak up now, the legislation may be the most radical deregulation in the world. We might be the outlier. We're less regulated than anybody in the world. That's what seems to be in the papers. But there's no ethics, there's no precaution, there's no liability, and no GE-free zones. That alarmed me. It says that the deep thinking that we expect from our ministers and our government, absolutely accepting that their agenda is to deregulate and have money flow in from genetic engineering. But to do that, you've got to protect our non-GMO, our G-free and organic production and exports.
Well, in the end, isn't it just it's a basic equation, and I haven't heard them address this either. And with that information from the NZIER report, you know, we're empowered now. But you've got to make a pretty damn good argument how, I mean, it's so basic, how we make more out of this than doing it the other way in the end, and I can't see that.
And the problem is if you make the choice invisible, the market can't speak. So what happened in New Zealand is that if you go to a supermarket, and again, Judith, please ask her next time she comes on the show, she keeps on mentioning that everyone's drinking soy milk lattes, or coffee lattes for the morning with soy milk that's GMO. All the brands in our supermarkets of soy milk are non-GMO and organic. Right. And the market both because they have... Consumers can see it because in the supermarkets, G had to be labeled. It has to be labeled still. So people influence the market, and she's absolutely wrong. Everyone's having non-GMO soy milk in their lattes every day in New Zealand if they're buying at a supermarket. And labeling and consumer choice is really key to the whole deal, both at home but also our exports. And we know that non-GMO food is growing about 12 or 13% every year in China, in India, in Europe. So if we stop being able to meet those demands, if we lose control because we're not tracing gene editing, if we don't allow people choice because we're not labeling gene edited products, and we haven't put in place like GE-free zones and systems to say that we've got to keep our non-GMO and organic producers going, if we don't do that, then we're not going to be able to hold the integrity of our system together. So that's what we're talking about. Maintaining and having protections in place that maintain the integrity of our safe food system that we market to the world.
Yeah. Okay. So what can people do? Because we've got to put the pressure on. That's why we're talking.
So there's a letter on our g3.org.nz website. There's a little panel as you go to the landing page. There's a little box at the top that says action alert or things or template. Write a letter right now. And it takes you through to, it's just a Word document, or basically it's something for people to cut and paste or to amend and put that into their own words. There's about five or six MPs listed. Most of them are actually opposition MPs. And to be honest, great if the opposition want to jump on this and say, yeah, this is really bad. But it's Judith Collins and, as I said, the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister who need to call this in and just say, look, can we tie off a little while? Can we just pause? We're hearing there's no economic analysis, so let's maybe do that. We're hearing that people are very upset that there's no liability and we're taking away the precautionary principle. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the farmers and the exporters exporting non-GMO to the world and how we protect that. So that conversation has never happened. I mean, the Royal Society a couple of years ago did reports, and even like the biotech industry said, oh, yes, we want a conversation with New Zealanders. Well, if this bill comes out, there is no conversation. The select committee ain't a conversation. Mm. It's a way of managing a bill through.
Yeah.
And yes, I'd love to think that they were going to listen to the public and farmers and exporters and say, oh, we got it wrong. I see what you mean. But if they're not going to do that in the select committee. They need to listen to the public and the farmers and the exporters before the bill is finalised.
Have the Greens been jumping up and down? Just curious because I haven't seen anything.
I think Steve Abel, who was one of the Green MPs, was interviewed around the time that the government sort of started to say they weren't going to have any animal ethics elements in this bill and they weren't going to have the precautionary principle in the bill. So there was some feedback from the Greens. But to be honest, it's bigger than the Greens. It's actually bigger than any one party.
Well, the reason I mention that is they're usually reported by the normie press, you know, and you'd think they'd be jumping up and down. Maybe they are, but it's... We just don't hear about it.
Even within the Green Party, as I understand it, there's a debate about whether the benefits of gene editing and genetic engineering. And I think it's really important that, I mean, I know this might sound amazing to you, Paul, but I'm not against genetic engineering, even though I'm the spokesperson for GFE New Zealand and Food and Environment. We've always been campaigning for regulation and and medical uses and contained uses that are ethical have to be something that, you know, all people, I think, would be open to. But when ethical uses are not made, or things go wrong and aren't regulated, including things like viruses and bacteria, which are very hard to contain. Once you open this up, you're really in trouble. So we've avoided the bullet. We've had strict regulations in New Zealand. Absolutely, that if they're onerous and they're unworkable, maybe they need to be looked at. But what we're seeing coming through in a bill, and that's why Chris Luxton, for all the love of money that biotech's going to bring us, he's got to protect what's bringing us the money now. So,
well, I want to see the money. Show me how much we can make. You can happy talk all you like. How much are we going to make? Who's going to?
How much are we going to lose, mate? It's an opportunity cost. How much are we going to lose?
Well, I know there's that, but if you're going to promote it and you're going to say that we need to be this in this space for our economic and survival future, you're going to make the case. I want to see the numbers. What's the potential?
I make the case each time.
Is it just people getting patents? Well, that ain't going to work for the average person.
Well, it's interesting. In Europe, the same debate. This debate's going on globally, but that's what the worry is that we're about to go to the extreme beyond Europe, beyond America, and be that this outlier of deregulation. But in Europe, they've actually said, look, the patents is what's driving this. So maybe on these new gene-edited precision breeding techniques, products, you won't be allowed to have a patent. And again, you see, it's all about the money. So just as the liability, strict liability on GE users is like the counterpoint to removing the precautionary principle. I mean, I don't think we should remove the precautionary principle, but you certainly can't do that and not make the users liable. But in Europe, they've also said, it's all being driven by patents. And if these products are so like nature that you're not going to be able to trace them, although you can, by the way, but that's the argument. Oh, they're so much like nature, we're not going to trace them and we can't label them and tell you about them. Well, you probably can't patent them either. And that's the law direction in America, sorry, in Europe. So taking away that money motivation, saying, well, you can't patent it. If it's just like nature, it's like more the traditional rules around plants, permissions. So that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, watch them drop it like a hot potato if that happens. All right, John, we're banged up against time. Thanks for coming on this morning. John Carapiet, spokesperson, GFNZ. But time is of the essence, right?
It has to be the Prime Minister and Winston Peters. They're the only people who've got the power and mana to say, hang on, guys, we're off track here. Yeah. Let's pause this bill. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John. John Carapiet on RCR.
RCR is on a mission to revive honest media. It's a good mission. And now you can be an integral part of it by joining the RCR Foundation Members Club. Receive exclusive benefits only available to club members, including discounted merch, your backstage pass to join the host for interactive behind-the-scenes discussions, and the popular daily curated news summary, RCR Bites, delivered to your email inbox every weekday morning, keeping you on the pulse of the news that matters in just a few minutes per day. To find out more, check out www.realitycheck.radio/members or click the FMC button on the bottom right of your RCR app.